Good morning, everybody. It's really lovely to see your faces this morning, especially Gordon and Ada. It's really special to be with you today. I'm just going to share my screen. I hope you can see that okay. So as you know, we have started doing a series on engaging with our culture and looking at well-being. Rich and Laura have introduced the subject of how the council have come up with some great tips to help us live full lives. And for those of us who are Christians, we know that the best way to live a full life is first to receive the love God has for us, and then to show his love to others. Then the well-being culture can nicely flow out of that foundation. So today we are going to look at the topic of connecting. This year, connecting has been a real effort. The normal day-to-day life connections have had to be put on hold for most of us. You may have seen this picture on social media. I think it sums up how a lot of us have been feeling. We've really been missing out on connecting with loved ones and pretty much anybody. And if you're like me, we can see very clearly that spending time with other people gives us a massive boost to our well-being. In Corinthians, we're told that we are part of the body of Christ. So today I've asked some of our younger friends to read for us. So we're going to have Esther and Naomi start reading for us, and then we're going to hand over to Daniel and Anna. They're going to be reading from 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 27 in the contemporary English version. So we'll hand over to the Alfords first.
The body of Christ has many different parts, just as any other body does. Some of us are Jews and others are Gentiles. Some of us are slaves and others are free. But God's Spirit baptized each of us and made us part of the body of Christ. Now we each drink from the same Spirit. Our bodies don't have just one part, they have many parts. Suppose a foot says, I'm not a hand, so I'm not part of the body. Wouldn't the foot still belong to the body? Or suppose an ear says, I'm not an eye, and so I'm not part of the body. Wouldn't the ear still belong to the body?
If our bodies were only an eye, we couldn't hear a thing. And if they were only an ear, we couldn't smell a thing. But God has put all parts of our body together in the way that he decided is best. A body isn't really a body unless there is more than one part. It takes many parts to make a single body.
Thank you, Esther and Naomi. Over to Daniel and Anna.
That's why the eyes cannot say they don't need the hands. That's also why the head cannot say it doesn't need the feet. In fact, we cannot get along without the parts of our body that seem to be the weakest. We take special care to dress up some parts of our bodies. We are modest about our personal parts, but we don't have to be modest about other parts. God put our bodies together in such a way that even the parts that seem the least important are valuable. He did this to make all parts of the body work together smoothly, with each part caring about the others. If one part of our body hurts, we hurt all over. If one part of our body is honoured, the whole body will be happy. Together, you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is part of his body.
Thank you so much. That's really lovely from Esther, Naomi, Daniel, and Anna. Thank you very much. As we can see from this reading, all parts of the body are needed. All parts are important, and that means you. However indispensable or less honourable we may feel, we are all important and connected to each other. And we are told to have equal concern for each other. I love the council's idea to help us connect more with each other. And I've found personally that when you start with God, connecting with him first, then when you come to connect with others, there's such a deeper strength to the connection. I'd like to give you an example from my personal experience. Just going to share some pictures with you again. This is a place called Hill House, which holds very special memories for me. Some years ago, I was involved in running a youth residential for 85 teenagers. Each summer, a group of 30 leaders would take away the youth to Hill House, which is near Bridgewater. The planning was done beforehand by a handful of people. And then when we got to the week's residential, we had everyone move into their designated role. The idea was to give young people a holiday within a Christian atmosphere. The week was so different to normal life as we knew it. It was like a little taste of heaven. The leaders would pray together every day, at least twice a day. We'd work hard together. We sometimes cried together, we worshiped God together, we ate together, and we laughed an awful lot together. Friendships became very close as we all worked on our different jobs, all pulling together for the one cause. These are some pictures from some of the weeks. Each leader was on the residential because they had a certain gift that they could use to make the week happen. We had a team of cooks. We had some washer-uppers, very important people. We had a medical person to look after the young people. We had pastoral leaders for the young people. And we also had two bossy people that organised the team and made it work well. I was one of those. It didn't all go well. We had some disagreements. We had intruders. We had accidents. But we had masses of fun. We had great times of experiencing the Holy Spirit's presence ourselves, but most importantly, we saw God work in the lives of the young people in many different ways. That week was about each person using their God-given gifts and serving him. The results were amazing. Not only did young people have a great week, the leaders did too. And most of those connecting friendships created in one intense week have lasted for many years. I married one of them. I want to highlight another example, this time of connected people displaying their giftings. Some of you will recognize this view. It's Polzeth. Some of us from some years ago, went away from Iska on a camping trip to Polzeth. One evening, we decided to go out for a meal in a large group. We got into our cars, we drove off to the restaurant, we had a lovely meal. And then when we came out of the restaurant, we realized that the heavens had opened and the rain was pouring down. When we got back to the campsite, we had to cross a tiny stream. Now that tiny stream had turned into a raging river. One of the two bridges had floated away and the second one was only there because there was a tractor sat on it. Thankfully, none of us were in this caravan, but it sums up what the campsite looked like. We were all camped on the other side of the river, so we needed to check that our tents had held out and that the insides were still dry. Several tents of our neighbouring campers had been dragged out of the flooded area, and people were all moving their soggy stuff. The scenes that followed will stay in my mind forever. The friends from Iska all reverted to their natural giftings. Alison Fletcher put the kettle on and was offering people hot drinks. Andy Moorcock was going round doing his pastoral bit, checking everybody was okay. Chris Cranston was on the phone to Devon Harveys, checking that the weather forecast for the next few hours. And Mike Wilmot, after helping people move their stuff to higher ground, was getting out his canoe to ride the waves. We all have natural gifts that God has given us. These are often gifts that just kick into action when needed. When we put these gifts together, they make up the body of the church. All these are needed to operate the body well. So let's just think for a minute. What gift has God given you? What part of the body are you? Are you creative? Administrative? Are you good with money? Are you an organizer? Are you a teacher? Are you a deep thinker? Do you have a knack of listening to people? Or do you have a knack of talking to people? There are loads of different gifts that reflect God in different ways. So I'm just going to stop for a minute and give you a few minutes or a few seconds just to think, what gift has God given you? The church body is a great way for us to connect and have friends and feel wanted. But what about those outside of our family? We're going to talk about them in part two. I'm now going to hand over to Julian to lead us in worship. Thank you, Julian. As I said at the end of part one, all this connecting within church is great. But what about those that are not currently in our family? At the end of Matthew 28, Jesus tells us this. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus is telling us to connect with everyone. Some people may be frightened of these verses. You might think you have to do things you're not comfortable doing, like going abroad to be a missionary or standing on street corners and telling people about Jesus. You might think you have to go knocking on somebody's door that you don't know and asking them to come to church. But in Matthew, it doesn't say you all have to be evangelists. It just says go. and we can only go with what we've been given to go with. This reminds me of another story in the Bible, in Luke, where Jesus sends out the 72. He told them to go with nothing extra than what he had given them. So what do you have in your hands? When we go with what God has given us, we make our best connections, especially if we're not trying to be somebody else. Sometimes we prefer somebody else's gift and we try and copy that. But that's like saying the hand is trying to be the ear. Only go with what God has given you. So what's your story? I've asked a few people to share how someone has connected with them during the pandemic and how it's blessed them. So we're now going to hand over to Alison Fletcher and then to Christina Weber to hear their story. Some of you may have done nice things for others too in lockdown, and some people might have done nice things for you. So I was wondering if you could put their name in the chat and just share that these people have blessed you in some way. So if you put their name in the chat, and we can all thank God that people are reaching out to us and showing his love to us. Feel free to do that while I'm chatting, and we can just see the names coming in would be great. I don't know if you remember, but this was a few years ago at Christmas. Our lovely choir formed for a Christmas performance. And as I said earlier, often we don't realise what gifts we have. Maybe it's because they're just so natural to us. We think they're normal. Sometimes we know what gifts we have, but we hide them away. If God has given you a gift of cooking, follow Heather's example and connect with people through cooking. If God has given you a gift of teaching, follow Christina's example and connect with people through teaching. If God has given you the gift of chatting, use it. When I was in my primary school, I often had a school report that said, "Great at group discussion, try harder with the reading and writing." Little did they know that my job would be all about chatting. Our gifts are often the things that come naturally to us. They may need to be worked on. You may need to have some training in them, but you would definitely need to exercise them and make them stronger and even better. Then when we put them all together, we make one body that reflects Jesus Christ in many different ways. There are loads of gifts. I mentioned some of them earlier. And if you're not sure what yours are, there's lots of tests online that you can do to help you find out what you're good at. But I think the best way is to ask people around you who know you well. Ask them, what am I good at? What do I do naturally? If you're in a discipleship group, have a chat with them about what your natural gifts are. Sometimes you, just being you, can show Jesus to others around without even saying a word. And then when they ask you why you like you are, why do you do those things? The best way I've found is just to be you, share your story in your words of what God has done for you. we can all play our role, connecting with others to be part of introducing them to Jesus. You may be saying, we're in lockdown. How am I meant to be connecting with others? You've had some examples from the ladies earlier. Because at this time, we have to have a rethink. The things that we normally do, we can't. But there will be some things that we can do. We have to get creative. We have to see how we can now use the gifts that God has given us. And again, you may need others to help you and encourage you. You may need to be reminded of what gifts you have. What I'd like to do now is for you to tell somebody else what gift you see in them. And don't forget, you can have more than one gift. So if you could put into the chat a person's name and the gift that you think they have, it will help and encourage them. If you think they'll be embarrassed, do it privately. Or you could ring them later, send them a text message, or even pop a card in the post to them. We love post, nice post, don't we? Please keep putting the names in the chat. I can't actually see the chat at the moment, but you can all see it and celebrate what God has given us here in Iskra to use to reflect him on earth. It's great to encourage each other. Let's not be embarrassed to do it. So what do we do with our gifts during this time of lockdown? Let's ask each other, chat to your friends, share ideas. Let's get exercising those gifts now so that when we come out of lockdown, they'll be strong and ready for more action. Now you might have ideas of what other people could do with their gift. And you might think, who am I to tell them what to do? Well, this week, I'm giving you permission to suggest to each other what you think they could do during this time. Don't be disappointed if they don't do it. It may be that they haven't thought of it before, or it may be they just need a bit of encouragement to get them started. Remember, we are the body. Usually the hand needs to help the foot tie their shoelaces. Sometimes the ears need to hear the mouth, and sometimes the mouth needs to shut up and listen to the heart or the mind. We're in this together. Let's try and help each other. So why has God given us gifts? He's given us gifts to reflect him and partner with him in his mission to show the world how much he loves them. And we know from reading the Word of God that God created us to be in relationship with one another. He designed us to be in communities, and he tells us to look out for each other and care for each other. So, in summary, what gift has God given you? What gifts can you see in others? Please remember to tell them. And how can you use your gifts to show others how much God loves them? I'd like to pray for us now, if that's okay. Father God, we thank you that you have given us gifts to use and to enjoy. Thank you that you choose to use us to show your love to others. Please give us the courage to use our gifts to show your love to those around us. Thank you for loving us so much that you gave your gift of Jesus to us. Amen. I'm now going to hand back over to Julian. Thank you.